Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297. It's another live edition of Talk of Champions. He's Zach Berry at Zach_Berry on Twitter. We both write for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Sign up today for just $1. Zach, how you doing, my friend?
Good morning. We are one day removed from college football playoff rankings.
Yes, we are.
Rebels at number six. I mean, I know a lot of people were concerned about Oregon possibly being ahead of Ole Miss. It looks like to me, in spots, that the committee values strength of schedule for now. We'll see how it is in a couple of weeks. But no, we've seen a lot of people on the board at Ole Miss Spirit asking about why Notre Dame is number 10. Well, it's because it's Notre Dame. That's why.
Yep.
Memphis at 12.
It's funny. I was Sudo and I did Game Runs Deep earlier this week, and he just couldn't stand the idea of what was inevitably coming with Notre Dame in the college football playoff rankings. That's just how it is. There are certain programs that are going to get deference. And honestly, I kind of get it because I don't have many complaints about how the committee kind of put things together. I think Ole Miss at six is about right. You know, they'd be hosting a college football playoff game against Virginia. The first round would be held in Oxford, Mississippi. What an absolute zoo that would be. But more than the Ole Miss piece, is there anything that really stuck out to you? Fair, unfair, right, wrong, anything like that? Because I'll be honest, like I said, I felt like this one, I feel like this one was pretty well done by the committee.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with the top four, right? Ohio State's looked pretty strong the last couple weeks. I know people were talking about, well, the only team that Ohio State's really played with a pulse was Texas. They only scored 10 points. But I don't know, last week, Penn State had some fight, and Ohio State just absolutely buried them. I was talking with our good buddy Andy Staples yesterday. Him and Ari on their show were talking with Big Cat about how this Ohio State team could potentially be better than last year's team. I don't think that's too crazy. Honestly, if you look at it, the only spot that I think this year's team is worse is running back. And the two running backs they got are solid. But
yeah,
I think Julian Sayin's better than Walker Howard. I think the wide receivers are legit. The defense, man, Matt Patricia, who would have thought that Matt Patricia was an upgrade over Jim Knowles? I mean, that
what a job he's done, man.
The defense is absolutely insane. Arville Reese and Sonny Styles as a 1-2 linebacker punch is nuts. Yeah, Indiana at two, I think they've earned it. You know, I think people are kind of getting tired of the Cignetti, you know, running his mouth, but they're backing it up, man. They are absolutely just blitzing people week in, week out. A&M at three, no issue there. Alabama at four, no issue. You got to put Georgia ahead of Ole Miss because of the head-to-head.
There's sure
no argument there. Ole Miss at six, I think, is very fair. Ahead of BYU, just I think strength of schedule comparison there. But BYU is in as of now. And then you get to where you get interesting with Texas Tech and Oregon playing in a potential round one game. And then getting paired up with Ohio State, maybe a little revenge there if Oregon could beat Texas Tech after Ohio State just absolutely just embarrassed Oregon at the Rose Bowl last year. A Memphis Georgia 12-5 is fascinating. And then the winner gets Alabama. Number 11 Virginia versus number 6 Ole Miss. I saw some early lines. They had it at like 17. That's a little much.
That's a little high.
I think Virginia's better than that. I was talking to the legal gambling council about it, and my buddy Nick Carr was like, okay, come on. Virginia's better than South Carolina. Come on, relax. But that'd be a great first-round matchup for Ole Miss, and then you get a free shot at A&M after, if you were to dispose of the Cavaliers. And then, yeah, BYU, Notre Dame. I mean, that right there. And then the winner gets Indiana. Again, another potential spot for revenge. Indiana might get another shot at Notre Dame after last year. I have no issue, Ben, with the top 12. I think it's very interesting. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's interesting. I think I know what they're doing here. We got Texas right there at 11 in the top 25. We got Oklahoma right there at 12. So if you're an Ole Miss fan, you were applauding the Sooners last week. I was on the wrong side of that. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that was one that I was asked about and said straight up. Like, yeah, I mean, when I look at the rankings, the only thing that really sticks out to me that and all of it I think is, again, really fair. But the predictable happened. Notre Dame is 10. Texas is 11. Right. And obviously, SEC teams are going to get deference. It's something that Lane Kiffin's been complaining about for a long time. He's like, hey, man, actually consider the best teams. And his main point of contention is if Vegas took two teams and lined them up on a neutral site and set the line, that's who the better team would be considered. And it seems as if, not that the college football playoff did that specifically, but at least the things that Lane Kiffin wanted the committee in this first round to consider, they did consider. And I think the biggest thing that stuck out more than anything else is 10-2 is no guarantee to get you in. No guarantee to get you in. Where last year we were all talking about 9-3 teams and you know, whether Ole Miss deserved to be in despite losses to Kentucky and Florida. 10-2 is going to be that discussion this year because there are so many teams right there in that conversation, starting with Vanderbilt at 16 at 7-2, Louisville 7-1, Virginia 8-1 at 14, Utah 7-2, Oklahoma 7-2, Texas 7-2, Notre Dame 6-2. Notre Dame's not going to lose another game. But if you're Ole Miss, yeah, you're barreling towards the college football playoff. Barreling.
Mm. Yeah. I think a lot of it, too.
You have two losable games with Florida and Mississippi State, and if you lose one of those two, then, yeah, I think that – I mean, there's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. Like, Ole Miss still has plenty of work left to do.
Yeah, and it also just depends on how many 10-2 teams there are. Because, obviously, if there are a bunch of 11-1s, Ole Miss could be on the outside looking in at 10-2. But if there are a lot of 10-2 teams and you only have a couple either undefeated or 11-1 or 12-1, whatever, after a conference title game, then it'll come down to different metrics where I think for now Ole Miss is in a good spot because your one loss is to the team in front of you at Georgia on the road. And it's
– single possession loss too. I mean, it's one where you had it.
Yeah, and I hate doing that. Well, it's a good loss, but that still matters when you're having to, you know, decipher between a couple teams. But, yeah, I mean, for Ole Miss, you got to handle business at home. You get Florida at night. I mean, it could potentially, Ben, it could be one of the biggest crowds in stadium history, I think.
It's going to be a zoo, man. It's absolute zoo.
Senior night, finale of a year where you're, like you said, barreling towards the college football playoff. I mean, it should be pretty damn good as far as an atmosphere goes. But, yeah, I mean, just keep winning. I mean, that's I tell people all the time, like, what do you think of the, you know, where do you think Ole Miss is going to be ranked? Or what do you, if you're Ole Miss, you just got to keep winning, man. Don't worry about it right now. Just keep winning and everything will take care of itself. It goes without saying because now, especially Ole Miss is, the path to get to Atlanta is pretty windy. Like, it would take a lot. But if you're Ole Miss, you don't want to go to Atlanta.
That's what I've been saying.
You want the week off. You don't want that extra game for, you know, to get battered another game, to potentially somebody get hurt or, you know, some nagging injury pop back up. You don't want it. You want to rest, get ready, and you get to host a game. Like, yeah, it would be great to have the bye. I don't know. Ben, I don't know how
last year having the bye was the worst thing ever.
So I was going to say, you kind of want a team to stay, you know, on schedule and like keep playing. And, you know, whereas if you get a team that gets a bye and sits at home and watches, you know, maybe you're a little stagnant. You I don't know. I kind of feel like you miss the SEC championship, but then you jump right back in and you play that first round game at home. I think that's, I don't know, man. As the kids would say, Ole Miss hosting a college football playoff game would feed families. I think that's what kids say.
You don't say that yourself.
Hey, man, I'm getting up there. I'm still figuring out what 6'7" means.
Buddy, don't get me started on the 6'7" conversation. I feel like there are a lot of dads and moms watching right now, of the people that are tuned in here to Talk of Champions live with Ben Garrett, Zach Berry, this 6'7" nonsense. I'll tell you all. Okay.
Spoiler, it doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. I'm giving you the very, 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 very short answer. What does it mean? Nothing. There is a song by like Glorilla where she overemphasizes the height of somebody that she's rapping
shout
about.
Out. I think. Shout out, yeah. Memphis. Shout out, Melrose.
Hell yeah. But yeah, and she says like 6'7", like in the thing. Well, that just became a memeable or TikTok-y thing where people just started adding that to general conversation.
Here's what you do.
It means quite literally nothing.
Here's what you do.
My daughters use it all day, every day.
Here's what you do. Your dads out there probably already know it, but what you got to do is you, as a father, have to say it all the time. Yep. Then the kids will hate it and think it's not cool anymore.
That's what I'm trying to do.
That's how you eliminate it.
The problem is like I've learned how to kind of deliver it where it's kind of funny because I know what they're going for, right? Somebody last night on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, OleMissSpirit.com, Footive on 3, asked me, hey, Ben, or not me, but like, hey, guys, Ole Miss Spirit family, what do y'all think Ole Miss will be ranked in the college football playoff rankings? People were going 6'7", so I went 6'7", and it was – but it means nothing. It's just an easy way. And now apparently, according to my oldest daughter, Gracie – there's Gracie, my perfect sweet baby Gracie since the adults have kind of caught on to how stupid this is and are trying to turn the worm – by using it inappropriately or when it's like that. There's no way to use it inappropriately or just when it's not supposed to be used, which is never. They'll go 41 or something stupid. It's all just so idiotic. But that's not what we're here to talk about here on Talk Champions. We're here to talk about the college football playoff rankings, which we have to start, and also Ole Miss recruiting. Whenever Ben and Zach sit down together here for me in the Riverland Roofing New Albany Branch Studios and for Zach, home in his studios there with the Brave stuff in the background, maps and records. I mean, that man's got the hookup back there in his Ole Miss work cave. We're going to talk about recruiting. That's what we really come together to talk about. And we've already got some questions in the comments. We're going to start not with recruiting, but with Ole Miss. I haven't seen anyone mention this, but would Joe Judge be an interesting candidate for some of these open jobs? I don't think Joe Judge is going to get much of any run with any of these open jobs right now. But if Lane were to leave in January, Joe Judge would certainly merit consideration because at that point, the timeline is what it is. And, you want to preserve as much of it as you can because then your John Summeralls are off the board. Eli Drinkwitzes are off the board. So that timeline, that's where Joe Judge could come into play because, then you're thinking about a CEO to take over. If it's not Pete Golding, who would it be? I don't think it would ever get to that point. I don't think it would. But as far as this cycle, just don't see it happen. But going to some recruiting questions, Zach, from @2tallpaul94. What's the odds? What are the odds? Ole Miss lands Jace Matthews, Tristan Keys, Braylon Womack, and Deuce Geralds.
Yeah, and just real quick on the Joe Judge thing. A lot of times if guys aren't mentioned, it could be because they just don't want to be head coach.
Could be.
Joe Judge just could be fine doing what he's doing.
He's making good money. He's got a good life here.
Odds, because I'm pretty sure he's still getting paid by the Giants too. Odds of landing Jace Matthews, Tristan Keys, pretty slim to none to get all of them. The two that I would say Ole Miss has the best shot at right now are Jace Matthews and Deuce Geralds. Tristan Keys has been pretty locked in with Tennessee, and I think he's probably going to stick with that.
He's also been, I don't know, there are ways he handled some things this year that have turned off some schools, especially with injury situation there at his high school. There's some stuff like Tristan Keys has some stuff to prove once he gets to the college level. I'm with you. I'd rank him fourth. But if you ask me the number one of those four, probably Jace Matthews, number two, Deuce Geralds, number three, Braylon Walmack, and number four, Tristan Keyes. You think that's fair?
Yeah, for sure. I think, Womack, he's going to go to A&M next weekend. So not this coming up, the next. Mississippi State's trying to get him in town this weekend for its game against Georgia. Pretty sure it was our very own Sam Spiegelman, or maybe it was Steve Wiltfong, said that Braylon's father said, quote, it's just up to Braylon at this point. So he's taking his visits. I still think he's going to end up out of state.
I do too.
People have asked me, and I've said it, has nothing to do with his sister. It has nothing to do with the softball team and her transferring. Like, this is his decision. His dad has told me that multiple times. They're just letting Braylon do his thing. And I just think Braylon, sometimes you have those kids that they just want to go out and do something else. They just want to get away from home. It's kind of like, you know, a regular, you know, student that's from Texas. You got plenty of schools in Texas to go to, but you want to go somewhere else. So maybe you go to Ole Miss. Maybe you go to Georgia. I think that's just kind of it for him. I think he just wants to go somewhere else. A&M, I believe, finished second for him when he initially picked Auburn. I think it's going to be either A&M, Notre Dame, or Ohio State if he doesn't stick with Auburn. Those were kind of the three big ones that he always talked about when I talked with him and his dad. So, yeah, odds of getting all of them. Ole Miss isn't getting all of them. But, yeah, Jace Matthews for sure, just because of the ties to Dante Moncrief. The staff in general, just George McDonald's kept an open line of communication with him. And then Deuce Gerald's, Randall Joyner, probably one of the top 10 recruiters in the country. His position group is just absolutely terrorizing people these last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You saw Walter Nolan go off on Monday Night Football. There's a lot of proof there in the pudding. I didn't mean to bring that up again, but
no, that was fine. The Cowboys suck. It was awesome to see Walter Nolan do his thing. He dominated his first game. I actually wrote about it at the Ole Miss Spirit, OwnSpirit.com, Footy1-3. In 1 year at Ole Miss, Walter Nolan was a consensus All-American, one of just 14 in program history, became the first Rebel taken in an historic 2025 NFL draft because Ole Miss had 8 players selected, the most in the 7-round era. That means since 1994. And second most since the AFL-NFL merger in 1967. Injury delayed him. He suffered, I think, like a calf, something or other, in preseason camp. But then he makes his debut against the Cowboys, my Cowboys, who suck. Even though I will defend their trade yesterday till I die. He finished with 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, a quarterback hit, and a pass defended. First player since T.J. Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2017 with such numbers in his first career game and 4th in NFL history. Walter Nolan,
good.
Absolute monster.
Yeah. Dude's an animal. There's no way around it. I mean, when he's healthy, he's as good as anybody in the league, even as a rookie. I know Dallas has struggled this year, but I mean, there were some multi-year starter guys on that offensive mm-hmm. line that he was embarrassing.
Oh, he abused Tyler Smith. I think it was on the Dak Prescott sack. I mean, he absolutely whipped an all-pro and a guy that just got his money in the offseason, got paid for being one of the very best at his job, and Walter absolutely beat him up. But you're absolutely right about the question from Too Tall, Paul 94. I think there's far more of a chance that Ole Miss only gets one than they get all 4. I think it's a far greater chance in that way. I don't think Tristan Keyes is – I mean, I know Ole Miss, you know, at least from my side of it, I don't know what you're hearing. Ole Miss continues to tell me, hey – don't sleep on Tristan Keyes now. Don't sleep on but I've been hearing that all year. And honestly, I've just seen nothing publicly or coming from Tristan that lends me to think that he's a realistic option. Yeah.
You got to come to campus. Otherwise, barring like a huge NIL deal at the, you know, final gun, he's going to go to Tennessee. And look, Chris Brazel's doing his thing for Tennessee. I mean, they're pitching Tristan on just coming in and being that guy.
And so for me, like, I'll worry about Tristan Keyes because at this point I'm worried about Tristan Keyes if and when he gets into the portal should anything happen next year, because right now I just don't see it for Ole Miss. Got another question from Stacey Reed, 1223. We talked about Matthews. I think he's the overwhelming likelihood of that group. As far as Deuce Gerald's, the price point has always been the issue with Deuce Gerald's. I don't want to speak exactly to what the number is because I don't know for sure, but the numbers I've heard are just they're not tenable for a true freshman defensive tackle to come in, because like look at Andrew Maddox right now. right? I mean, this is a guy who was great in spring practices, great in fall camp, and he's barely seen the field because it's just really hard at that spot where wide receiver and Winnie Watkins can go do some things, can get on the field a little bit earlier. It's hard at certain spots, especially in this new NIL culture. And Deuce Gerald's for the number he's asking for. I just Ole Miss hasn't been comfortable with it, but it might be a different conversation now. Obviously, that Brian Kelly and LSU are have parted ways, and LSU is trying to figure some things out. Just got a new AD, new president. Still don't think Lane Kiffin's a real option for them because of that dysfunction. I think it's just Florida or the Ole Miss extension. But yeah, Jace Matthews overwhelmingly. I put Deuce Gerald's third. Deuce Knight is one that I talked about here on Talk of Champions last week when we were picking out potential portal options. And now that Hugh Freeze has been fired at Auburn, Jamonte Waller's another one that I've heard specifically. Ole Miss really wanted out of high school. And then another one, of course, is Deuce Knight. I think, like, if I was putting my money on the potential transfer right now, that I think absolutely is something Ole Miss fans should watch out for, it'd be Deuce.
The thing about Deuce Knight is he's got a sizable, you know, contract, if you will, with Auburn. Yep. And also, it'd be hard for me to see him and envision him leaving for Ole Miss because he's not going to play right away.
Well, he could. If
Austin he's not close to being ready.
If he was, he would be playing because Auburn has a completely disastrous quarterback situation. Jackson Arnold is, I hate it for him. And, you know, the Hugh Freeze never went to Deuce Knight. And that for me, that he was handpicked out of high school. And that is a sticking point, especially at the price point. So, yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
the Jamonte Waller thing is similar to Deuce Gerald's.
Hadn't done nothing yet.
Well, that, but also, like, how much money are you going to invest in a 6'1", 6'2", defensive lineman? Like, that's got to be a really thorough evaluation where, like, you think that they can come in and contribute. You're not gonna pay six figures for a guy that's, you know, 6'1", or 6'2", to just not play. I mean, it's happened before, but like at this time, at this state of the program with where you are and like you're on the cusp of being a perennial college football playoff contender year in, year out, you got to allocate resources better. And yeah, Deuce Gerald's asking for a good bit out of high school, and then Jamonte Waller hasn't played much. And, you know, are you really going to invest that much in someone that's going to be undersized?
Absolutely right. At @clutch_camTV, I honestly think Simmons stays. I said that on Talk of Champions. I think the overwhelming favorite to be Ole Miss's starting quarterback next year is Austin Simmons. That's what I think is to be true. But they're going to add somebody in the portal. Trinidad Chambliss is not getting that waiver. I mean, if he does, I'll say, hey, man, I was wrong. But like everything, I don't see how that works out for him. So it's going to be the Austin Simmons show. And they're going to bring somebody in like they did last all season to try to come and push him. Obviously, they went much more big game hunting last offseason than Trinidad Chambliss, who was a Division II transfer from Ferris State after spring football. Like earlier in the offseason, it was Bo Prabula. It was, you know, they were really willing to spend a good penny to bring somebody in. And I think they're going to do a similar kind of thing this year. But Austin, I think it's his year next year. It was supposed to be this year. It's unfortunate kind of what happened with him, but it might turn out to be the very best thing that could have happened to him because next year it'll be just about the ball and he's handled himself so well. I think that's really important. A good question here from Jafon. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I was going to say people have talked about it. I've seen some pictures and videos on Twitter. Like Austin Simmons has been a phenomenal teammate. He hasn't pouted. You know, easy for him to do that. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I still think that there could be some folks, you know, parties involved that might want him to go somewhere else. But he's shown zero signs of being unhappy with Ole Miss. I think it was just a weird perfect storm for
Dad's not happy, you know.
Yeah, I mean Trinidad coming in and doing what he did against Arkansas. And then doing it again against Tulane. I mean, it was going to be hard for the staff to not play him regardless of the health. And I think it took Simmons a couple weeks to get back healthy.
He's healthy now. He could play now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's good now. He's good now. But, yeah, we'll see. And, look, if he stays, that's awesome. If not, Kiffin, Joe Judge, Charlie Weiss, they're going to go find someone else.
Yep. At @Clutch_CamTV, still Sorsby. Speaking of Brendan Sorsby at Cincinnati, that would be a transfer option for Ole Miss. There are other ones too. Damon Williams at Washington, we brought up.
Rough one last week for my man Brendan, but Utah. You don't
Utah's
just
good.
Rice Eccles, baby. That's a house of horrors for people. He's still good.
There are real options, though. He would be one. Just mentioned Damon Williams. There are a lot of potential transfer quarterbacks out there that'll make for an interesting market. I think the kid from NC State, if he gets in, is going to be the most wanted quarterback of all of them. And Ole Miss would be involved with all these guys. But at the end of the day, the prohibitive favorite to start for Ole Miss in 2026-7, I think, is Austin Simmons. And I do, like Clutch said earlier, I think that Austin Simmons sticks around, if you made me guess right now. At @TallPaul94, is Lane Kiffin trying to go the Derrick Henry route with Shekhi Mills-Knight? I don't know about that. I would just simply say the reason Shekhi's not playing is because he's not ready. It's a very raw prospect, but if he sticks around, if he sticks to process, man, he could really be something for Ole Miss. Absolutely. But yeah.
Pass pro, man.
Yeah, it's pass pro. I mean, there
can't pass pro, you're not going to play. And that's, I'm not saying he can't, but yeah, I mean, he's a true freshman. And Kewon Lacy's killing it. Logan Diggs is healthy. He's been a
like, you don't really, nice, like, who are you really going to give anybody else Kewon Lacy snaps? No.
And Shekhi's fine. He understands. We've talked about it on the show before. He comes from that Baylor school program. Eric Kimry's the head coach. He's a former college coach. They come out of that, like Bryson Sanders is as well, as a great example. Those guys come out of that high school program understanding how things work. Like, he's not going to bail. Like, I would be shocked if Shekhi Mills-Knight bails because he's not playing this year. Like, he knows the deal. And, like, Bryson Sanders stuck it out. Now look at him. He's starting center on one of the best offensive lines in the SEC and in the country. So, he's going to be fine. I'm not sure what the Derrick Henry route might be. I guess just waiting to play him until he's, I don't know, ready as a junior or senior. I don't know. Shekhi will play when he's ready. The staff still likes him. It's just,
you don't take out Kewon Lacy right now. They figured out, I mean, the beauty of Kewon Lacy is you don't have to take him off the field. Short yardage, pass pro, gimmicky stuff. Kewon can do all of those things. So where you had to kind of patch it together for the last year and a half, you don't have to do that this year. And
it's hard to find guys that are willing to pass pro
and do it well.
Yeah.
And do it well. Like, there's a lot of willing pass protectors, but actually doing the job well, which separates you for the next level, is really hard to do. And Kewon Lacy is one of the very best in the nation at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you don't, what Tall Paul said, I mean, Derrick Henry redshirted his first year at Bama and bulked up. That's what I'm asking.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he'll redshirt and he'll be in the mix next year, no doubt.
Because he's big now. Ain't no doubt he's big.
He's big. As I've said before, man, you get him and Andrew Jones coming off the bus first and second, and you're doing all right. I mean, he looks the part already. I think he's just going to just keep growing, getting better, pass protection, learning the plays. Last year it was a huge problem and a glaring issue. This year, you've got Kewon Lacy, you got Logan Diggs, and people forget about Damian Taylor. Like, he's still there.
Man, that fumble killed him earlier in the year, dude.
Yeah. Veteran guy, though. So, like, Ole Miss has got, you know, and that's another thing, too, and kind of tangent real quick with how Ole Miss recruits. We talk about quarterbacks and, like, bringing guys in every year. It's because Lane Kiffin and this staff are recruiting to play 15, 16 games a year. Like, this isn't the old, like, well, you know, we're only going to play 12, 13, you know, just regular season, bowl game, you know, maybe 14 if we get to Atlanta. Like, no, like, you're preparing for a playoff run, so you got to have the depth, man. So, like, Damian Taylor, his number might be called in a first-round game against Virginia where Kewon Lacy's run the ball 29 times and he's gassed. You got to bring somebody else in. So that's part of it, too, where, like, they're building these rooms. Like, people forget about – like some of the Traylon Ray from the wide receiver from
West Virginia.
Yeah. Speed
hurt. Yeah. Just kind of,
Like him and like Isaiah Hartrup, who stuck around for another year. Like he returned some punts, like
some
those
kicks.
Those guys could have their name called in these playoff games. So that's why that you bulk up these rosters like you do.
Yeah, so I think Shekhi Mills-Knight, his time is coming. But, yeah, that's actually an interesting idea, Tall Paul. Might have to ask Lane specifically about that, like the plan for Shekhi Mills-Knight, especially on Citadel week, because that's who Ole Miss has this week. They're going to move to 9-1. That'd be a great question. So today is our next opportunity with Lane on the SEC.
You'd like to see a lot of Shekhi Mills-Knight on Saturday.
Yeah, you would like to see him get some run. I know he hadn't gotten his full four games in. So, yeah, you would like to see him absolutely get some run in there. I want to answer this one real quick before we move on here. Javon Campbell, 6249, going to my first Ole Miss game. Congratulations. Where do I park? If you don't have a parking pass for on campus, buddy, I would just say park at the mall and walk over. Park at the mall, yeah. Walk over. That's the cheapest and probably most seamless, easy way to go. There should be parking passes, though, available, man. If you go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, for the 3, people are handing them out. Just sign up for $1 and you'll get a parking pass. You know, people are handing them out because that's the good thing I've seen so far from Ole Miss fans this week for the Citadel is Lane wants another great atmosphere. It's unrealistic in November considering the games they're coming off of and that it's the Citadel. But I've seen a lot of Ole Miss fans, Kenny Carson on Twitter, he does this all the time. I'm so thankful for guys like him. Man, they're trying to get tickets and parking passes into the hands of Ole Miss fans who otherwise wouldn't get to go or haven't gotten a chance to go. And no cost to you, just, you know, show up and take the seats. So go to the Ole Miss Spirit, go to Twitter, try to find you a parking pass if you could. It should be pretty easy to do. But if you don't, man, if worse comes to worse, parking over there at the mall and walking over, that's how I've seen pretty much everybody do it.
Or you could also just park, you know, as long as there's not, like, any signs for, like, towing, find a business close to the square and then just walk. And then just see the campus, enjoy. It should be a nice day.
Great day.
I haven't looked at the weather, but, I mean, it's not going to be hot. And you can just get a nice little walk in, come down University, and see the baseball field. Yeah, just nice little walk.
All right, would a 10-2 Oklahoma jump a 10-2 Ole Miss? No. No. Even with the win over Alabama, no, it's the head-to-head. No.
Especially because Ole Miss went to Oklahoma and handled them.
Yeah. Any updates on Kylan Bobo?
Two-player running back. No, he doesn't do a lot of talking. And, I mean, I think the last time I spoke with him, he didn't – no leaders, nobody sticking out. He's just kind of taking it slow. A lot of these kids, especially right now, they're focusing on playoff runs. So they're not really looking at, you know, going to games if they don't have to or if they're not invited. They're gonna focus. And he's a 27. But yeah, Tupelo's, are they still undefeated?
Yeah, I think so. Man, I look at dude, Jerelyn McCoy, Iverson McCoy, Jaden Hill, Braylon Williams. I mean, South Haven Tupelo almost went weeks back because they had some loaded up talent, a lot of for Ole Miss guys. Tupelo's a good team, man. Might be the best team in the state. Got real talent everywhere.
Antonio Berry's a 27 offensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good football team, and Ole Miss is really trying, at least for the next two classes, to get a foothold kind of in Tupelo because they've got some legitimate guys who can really help you. Logan Diggs from Clutch Cam, is Diggs done after this year? He is. He will have exhausted his eligibility. And now moving on to got more questions coming. Y'all are wanting to talk and ask questions today. Who are the realistic flip targets, and what are the odds they actually flip? That's kind of where I was going anyway. So there you go, Zach. Who are the realistic flip targets, and what are the odds they actually flip? We knocked out Jace Matthews. We've knocked out Braylon Womack. We've knocked out Deuce Gerald's. Anybody else, or are those the ones we're paying attention to?
Probably the main one will be Tavian Branch. He will be in town for the Florida game, Penn State commit, defensive lineman. His senior season is done, so now he will be all recruiting. He will be trying to find where he will spend the next 3 to 4 years. I think Ole Miss is in the driver's seat there. I think they got a really good shot. And pushing the visit back a little bit, I think, gives Randall Joyner and Pete Golding some time to get to know him. When I talked with a couple people in the building a couple weeks ago, that was what they said was, yeah, like we love his film. Like we're excited to get him on campus, but like we got to get to know him. That's a big thing. You know, you got to be a culture fit. You got to be a fit in the room. That's important. I think he's the most likely flip target. After that, man, Rodney Colton slipping into town last weekend. That was big. Ole Miss was like the odds-on favorite to get him early on this year. He commits to Colorado. He comes to campus. He told me after the game on Sunday that it's Ole Miss and Colorado right now, which could be in flux, man, because there's a lot of rumblings about what is Deion going to do. I mean, Colorado has looked atrocious these last 2 weeks. You got to think he likes what he sees from the Ole Miss defense, especially these last couple weeks. He's another guy that doesn't really do a lot of talking, but I got him on the phone on Sunday. Said he had a great time in Oxford. And I think right now Ole Miss, I don't know if a flip is imminent or potentially happening, but Ole Miss is basically the only team that he's looking at right now outside of Colorado as of Sunday when I talked to him. And then outside of those two, I would say you got to look at Micah Nickerson from South Pike, committed to Missouri. Was at one time committed to Mississippi State. Now he's committed to Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz and them are trying their best to hide him down there, and they don't want anybody to find him because the dude is a freak. Plays both ways, but a legitimate potential impact guy at the next level on the defensive side of the football. I talked to someone about him, and they said that he has arguably some of the best athleticism and traits for a guy from the state of Mississippi in the last couple cycles, which is saying a lot because you got a couple dudes from Mississippi right now that are playing at a high level for Ole Miss. But really twitchy, big, 6'5". He plays at about 215, 220, so need to bulk up a little bit. So, you know, wherever he goes, may not get on the field right away because of that little light in the pants. But I think a lot of that stuff you can't teach with just how explosive he is. He plays, like I say, he plays both ways. He can play some tight end, play some wide receiver, so you know the athleticism is there. But I know Ole Miss is really excited about him and trying to get him on campus. I think last time I spoke with a source, they said that trying to get him in town this weekend, do a little meet and greet, get to know him, talk to him in person, and then try to get him back on campus for an OV for Florida. So if that happens, back-to-back weekends, get an OV, it's a good shot. But yeah, that would be quite the pull to get him from Missouri. And then outside of those three, the last one I would talk about would be Zayon Cotton. Talked to him on Sunday after the game. Big physical pass catcher from Grenada. He is committed to Mississippi State, but he told me that Ole Miss is pushing hard and he's really focused on Ole Miss and just trying to, you know, figure it all out. He's kind of been a guy that really blew up on the 7-on-7 circuit these last couple of years just because he's a nightmare in 7-on-7 because he's close to 6'5", can high point the football. Not a ton of top-end speed, but enough to where he can get downfield and make plays. He is someone he told me Ole Miss is recruiting him as both a wide receiver, tight end. I think he would be a perfect X tight end, you know, a flex guy that can run routes. And the thing for him, I think at the next level and improving would just be blocking, which, you know, a lot of tight ends in high school, that's what they all need to improve on because when you're in high school and you're 6'5", 215, you're typically going to be bigger and stronger than everybody else that you go up against. Rivals director of scouting and rankings, Charles Power, really high on Zayon Cotton. I think he's close to 1,000 yards receiving this year. He's been as Charles would say, he's a quote, legitimate ball winner in contested catch situations. So big time playmaker. We'll see. Again, he said Ole Miss is going to push. He liked the atmosphere at the South Carolina game. So we'll see. Keep an eye, see if he comes back in town. If he comes back for Florida, could be pretty telling on how serious he's looking at Ole Miss. But that's probably it for the flip targets right now because a lot of the sweat equity right now, Ben, is on this current team and getting to the playoff. And then if it's recruiting, outside of some of these guys, I mean, they're looking at 27 already. So that's probably the four names that I would put out there right now.
Ole Miss fans, Chris Beard and the Rebels are back. That means fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. From Malik Dia and Elias Carmadine and other Rebels, that's points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. The NBA is in full swing. Think Ja Morant will go over 4.5 rebounds for the Grizzlies? I do too. How about 24.5 points? Just a few simple clicks and it's winning time. I speak from experience, and if I can do it, anyone can. It's that simple. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playandgetterms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
J.C. Anderson is currently committed to Ole Miss at tight end, a four-star out of Illinois. Ole Miss loves him, really had to battle to get him. Auburn firing Hugh Freeze is significant for that specific recruitment because Auburn was always the number two for J.C. Anderson. His mother really loved Hugh Freeze. I hate to frame it that way, but it does help Ole Miss for that recruitment, especially if you're thinking about other tight end options like Zayon Cotton, who has great, great size. I mean, 6'4.5", 215, from Grenada, like you mentioned, committed to state in June. He'd be a nice late piece. I mean, we're talking about flip targets, and everybody's focused on Jace and Deuce Geralds and Braylon Walmack and Tristan Keys, and for good reason. But this kid's a four-star. Mississippi State loves him. Ole Miss loves him too. And he could play any number of roles for you, even early potentially with that kind of size and the speed size ratio. He doesn't have a ton of top end speed. You're right. But man, you can't coach that kind of size. And Zion Cotton would be a big, big addition for Ole Miss late. Zion Cotton from Clutch Cam. Is he an Octavius Cooley comp? Man, I'm still to this day fighting the battle that Octavius Cooley was awesome.
Cooley was a lot bigger than Cotton.
Yeah.
Still a good athlete, but no.
Well, Cotton, 6'4.5" is 6'4.5". I don't think Cooley had 6'4.5" in him.
No, but he was thicker.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'd rather take the 6'4.5", 215, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Cotton leans more wide receiver side than Cooley did.
Yeah. A lot like Caleb Odom, probably more as a comp.
Yeah. That's a perfect one.
Boom. Yeah. I love this from at TRYXPB. If my math is right, if Ole Miss wins out and hosts a playoff game, the moment Ole Miss wins that home playoff game would be the moment that Kiffin overtakes Johnny Vaught in overall win percentage. I can't verify that, but if it's true, what a unreal stat that is. So yeah, talk about legend status and the lane stuff and all this kind of stuff. Man, I've said it over and over again. Nothing's changed since the last time I talked to y'all about this. I think it's the Ole Miss extension or Florida. He's had an extension on his desk for weeks. Ole Miss is not going to delay in giving him anything and everything he wants. He's just going to have to make a decision ultimately. And honestly, I don't think we're going to see for another 2 weeks anything consequential. But that Florida week could be pretty fun. Well, fun for
if you're an Ole Miss fan,
it's going to be miserable.
In a perfect world, you beat Florida, 36-15 or 36-17, and then Kiffin signs it on Sunday.
I love the dream
probably
casting.
Won't happen, but
it won't. How many people have said, hey, you think you'll just announce the extension on Florida week, man? I don't know what he's going to do, but I do think it is Florida or the Ole Miss extension, and that week is setting up to be an absolute circus. I mean, if you look at the whole potential schedule for next week, man, ESPN's going to be here. I mean, game day for Ole Miss Florida with the lane stuff all over. I mean, that's content gold for them. So,
yeah,
that's a real possibility.
I can't remember the username. It was on our board. Somebody had a pretty good theory on why Kiffin's handling it like this, because according to this person, I and forgive me, I can't remember the username, but they said that because he hasn't signed it, all of this attention and publicity and just promoting the Ole Miss program is in the forefront.
It's which is the positive view. That is the positive view. I would prefer the positive view.
I mean, yeah,
he's just leaving all of his options open.
Is the theory right? I don't know. Maybe.
It's nice. It's better than nothing because in the absence of real information, what rises up to take its place?
Yeah.
Nonsense. The latest betting odds on the next Florida coach, Eli Drinkwitz, is minus 110. I've been saying that. If y'all been watching Talk Champions for any length of time, I've been saying that for a minute. Lane Kiffin's plus 200 actually moved up from plus 350. Jed Fish right there. James Franklin, Clark Lee. I think like Shulman from Georgia, like Georgia's defensive coordinator, like he was the hottest. Greg Shulman was the hottest candidate. Or one of the hotter candidates for the last two cycles.
No way Florida's doing that. No. I posted on the board. I talked to a national media member, and they said that they think Jeff Brohm's up there.
Plus 1,600 right now, according to who did these odds? Let me see. I think BetMGM did them.
Good value.
BetOnline did these. That's good value. Yeah, that is good value.
I think,
but honestly, like I've been very consistent. I think Eli Drinkwitz is barreling towards this job. That's what I think.
Yeah, and that's like I think Florida fans are going to hate it, which is dumb because Drinkwitz is a hell of a coach. Same with Jeff Brohm. I think both would do well. And I've talked to people that are in Florida, and they said the same thing. They're like, both of them would do great. Like multiple people have told me, like, I think Eli Drinkwitz or Jeff Brohm would do well at Florida. I don't disagree because look at what they've done, where they're at with, you know, arguably less resources.
And I think Eli really, really wants the big logo on his head, you know?
And that's what's interesting because Drinkwitz has a very similar situation that Kiffin has, where he's at a school that is in lockstep with him. He's gotten everything he's asked for. I mean, they're renovating the stadium. They're expanding. Mm-hmm. He's done well in the portal and NIL. Like, they have worked with him since he was hired. And, you know, Drinkwitz and Kiffin are the gems of that 2020 coaching search season. I mean, those are two guys that have absolutely crushed it at their respective schools. I could see that. I could see Drinkwitz wanting that because, you know, he's a goober and he does a lot of silly stuff that he kind of looks like he's trying to do the Lane Kiffin thing.
It's like if Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin had a baby. You know
that he would love that, to have the big, you know, SEC, you know, a former power. Can he bring it back? Like, I think that would be something he would relish. Maybe he could. I don't know. I don't think Florida's hiring a coordinator.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't think it either.
I would be absolutely shocked.
Is Lane leaving? Y'all see what he posted. He posts a lot of things. I've been consistent. I think right now, no one knows for sure.
What did Lane post?
Yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't look for it. I didn't even find his Kiffin leaving. Y'all see his post. I don't know where what post specifically you're talking about. He posts a lot of things, but it's either the Ole Miss extension or Florida right now. And until that changes, I'll be consistent with it until that changes. And right now, it hasn't changed.
His last couple things is he posted an elf on a shelf holding a Trinidad and Tobago flag. And then he posted something about his daughter Landry being nominated to the National Society of Leadership and Success. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty awesome. That's a proud dad moment.
that pamphlet's on top of the Citadel 2025 defensive.
Do y'all think he's leaving? I've said it for 48 minutes. I don't know. I think it's one of two things as of today, November 5th, 2025. The Ole Miss extension, or he's going to go to Florida. I would still put my money on the Ole Miss extension. That's the best I can do.
In my opinion, my gut says that he stays.
That's the best I got, and that's enough for today because it feels like we all of these podcasts just turn into Lane Kiffin discussions again. And really, when I bring Zach in for Talk of Champions, we really want to talk recruiting more than we do anything else. And before we jump to this question from Furry Beats GME, what are your thoughts, Zach, about NASCAR McCoy? What NASCAR McCoy said about the long haul? Was NASCAR the one that was quoted in the Adam Gorney or Sam Spiegelman story. Was that who that was?
Yeah.
Said saying that Lane's not leaving.
Staff said Lane's staying. They're in for the
– Staffs are never leaving until they leave. So I don't put any stock into that at all. I got what they're telling recruits.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to say? But I don't know. I mean,
I do think it's notable that, like, the staff – like, I've heard it not in – in that kind of scenario, all right, of course they're going to tell recruits that they're trying to get to sign because, again, you're not leaving until you do, right?
No, yeah.
They're going to tell those guys, oh, all is good. But I will say what is encouraging, if you're wanting to latch onto that, is I've heard similar things off the record in private from coaches, higher ups, staff, like higher ups, be it administrators or football staffers. I mean, even one as late as the win over South Carolina, walking off the field saying he ain't going nowhere. There is a lot of that same sentiment in private, which gives it a little bit more validity. But as far as recruits and what the staff is telling them, that's just them doing their job. And you're never leaving anywhere until you up and leave. I mean, Kelvin Bolden at Ole Miss, for example, I mean, within a day, Clutch Cam, NASCAR McCoy is an elite name, almost has to sign him. Well, it looks like they're going to, and it is an elite name, absolutely an elite name. At Mason Palazzo 2387, Kiffin ain't leaving. Landry Kiffin is in law school. She will stay here for a while. I don't disagree. But as of right now, based on everything I'm hearing, verified that stat from our guy at TRYXPB. Verified Lane Kiffin right now is 52 and 19. If Ole Miss wins out and wins a home playoff game, Lane's overall would be 56-19, 74.66% versus Vault 74.5%, for what it's worth. For what it's worth is exactly what we've been talking about. That's part of the consideration. He is becoming Ole Miss's Nick Saban. Ole Miss's, I mean, he's surpassing Johnny Vault. He's as Nick Saban surpassed Bear Bryant, right? So that is a legitimate pull for him to stick around. But at the end of the day, I think Florida is a unique pursuer of him for a number of different reasons. And as of today, I think it's one of two options. I don't think LSU's in this. He's not going to Auburn. I can tell you that. He ain't going to Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, he
ain't going to Auburn.
The Louisiana governor is kind of screwed LSU at the moment.
Yeah, they got an AD now. They got a president, that kind of stuff. Like, nothing lasts longer than an afternoon. Like, we all talk about dysfunction. Everybody be going, look how LSU has bounced back. And now it's back to being the best job it can be. I think Kelvin Shepard's a leading candidate at LSU right now with the Detroit Lions.
Insane.
Somebody has to tell Lane that said, I'll do it. Sure. But also he would say we're focused on 1-0. He's going to say that's down the line. You know, the goal, like, we would have to ask him after the home playoff game. He wouldn't give us an answer, though, because, like, that's a hypothetical thing. It's like when you say, man, I'm not going to get too far into this. Point being, it's like, that is a great question and a great stat. I'm going to keep it in the back of this here dumb noggin. But yeah, we would wait to ask him after it happened, because until then you go, we're just focused on 1-0, being where our feet are, keeping the main thing, you know, you've heard it all.
Impressive too, because, you know, you play more games now.
Yeah.
So that win percentage is, I mean, it's impressive.
Imagine if he maintains it, if he stays at Ole Miss and maintains it with a 9-game SEC schedule. It's not even close. It's not even close as far as who is the most successful coach in certainly modern Ole Miss history, but arguably all time.
We got a good question there about from Tucson Paul about targets on teams who've had their coaches fired.
Yes, I see it. There it is.
I
answered some of this in my all-day AMA the other day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and the Fiddler of Ole 3. Sign up today for $1.
Cam Coleman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And he's already generating, like, he's getting pre-portal like crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Another one that is going to be on everybody's list. He's probably going to go pro. I was going to say Keldrick Falk. Dude's a monster. He's probably going pro. From Highland Home.
Highland Home.
Drive by there.
Trying to find exactly. All right. Here's what I got. Auburn. Beach. I'll put it on the screen. You keep going.
Just take your pick with anybody on that defense that still has eligibility and doesn't go pro.
Right.
DJ Durkin's worked wonders with that defense. They are nasty.
And I saw the betting odds for the Auburn head coach, and DJ's up there like pretty high. Like I've said that before. Anybody, like I said, probably go back and watch my thing. You see what I'm saying? DJ Durkin, I'm not crazy. He has a legitimate shot at getting that job.
He's going to beat Alabama and they're going to hire him.
I could see it. And with a good OC hire, it's kind of inspired.
Here's one for sure.
That's what I wrote. What you're seeing on your screen now at the Ole Miss Spirit, that's what I wrote. Cam Coleman, all of these are so far verified names that I've actually heard. Auburn, Cam Coleman, Deuce Knight, Jamonta Waller, LSU, PJ Woodland, Gabriel Relaford, Whit Weeks. Oh, can you imagine the circus of Whit Weeks? Carius Kern, Florida, DJ Lagway, duh. Dallas Wilson, that's the one. Imagine Ole Miss came out with this cycle with one of, if not both, not both, they're not going to happen, but at least one of Cam Coleman or Dallas Wilson to replace the DeJon Stribling. It'd be insane. Joseph Mbachu at Arkansas, Braylon Russell. Ole Miss actually really liked Braylon Russell last year in the portal. He'd be an interesting name to kind of compare with Kewan Lacy.
Back and forth. Braylon Russell, he committed to Ole Miss and then went back to Arkansas. Here's one that you don't have on there for Auburn. Elijah Melendez. Linebacker from Florida last cycle. Yep. Ole Miss was the favorite. Auburn came in late, got him. Kevin Smith and Pete Golding were huge fans. He's played a good bit and good outside linebacker. He's got 16 tackles, one sack, one pick. He's been playing a lot for Durkin. So that'd be one that I would add.
Shouts out to our guy Derek Nix, man. He's gonna call all the plays too. Crazy concept. Let your offensive coordinator call the plays. But like good for him, seriously.
Did you see what Durkin said?
Yes. Yeah.
He's going to call plays on first, second, and third down.
Yeah, first, second, third. Well, the crazy thing for me an encouraging part of this because all of this is a mess. It's like coaching carousel stuff. It's always a mess. It's aggravating. It takes away from the product on the field, especially if you're Ole Miss and you're just barreling towards something that you've been wanting your entire life. But it's also cool to see guys like Derek Nix, who spent 15 years at Ole Miss. He just wanted an opportunity. He got in there involved with the Southern Miss head coaching opportunity. Didn't get it. He just wanted an opportunity to advance up. What an opportunity in a three-game run to be a legitimate OC, not one just by title, not just a title of associate head coach. Lane did it for him in the spring game. You know, he let him be the head coach to kind of display. Yep. And now he's getting a real opportunity as Derek to show his chops as a play caller. I think that's awesome. He's a really good guy. And he works his tail off, and he wanted to stay at Ole Miss forever, but like he really wanted an opportunity to show, to show his chops as a play caller and as a potential head coach. And now he's going to get to do that for three games with DJ Durkin. I think that's really cool, and I wish the absolute best for Derek because I know how long he's been trying to get that. Auburn making look at
this. Yeah, he's good people.
Auburn making a habit of hiring coaches with sketchy pass, buddy. I mean this in the nicest way possible. Ole Miss has no room to talk ever, ever. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the wins and losses, right? It's about the wins and losses because we've seen the timelines has been sped up. You got 3 years now. You got Freeze's daughter going on Instagram, having an Instagram live talking about how they promised us 4 years. Well, you know, I also got beachfront property here in New Albany, Mississippi to sell you, hon. I mean, this is bad. Come on now. You got to know what the culture you're living in now.
I mean, I was, you know, I caught a lot of heat a couple years ago in a particular coaching search because of off the court stuff.
You did.
Never once doubted the ability of the person who was hired. Not at all. But like, you got to put stuff aside at times, man. At the end of the day, it doesn't mean that it's right or you know, you're admitting that it's not wrong. It's just
not what it is.
It's a business. You got to win.
Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Mason Palazzo comes. He says Auburn hiring coaches they have in common. They were all coaching at Arkansas State. So maybe next Arkansas State head coach, that would be Butch Jones. And I don't think they're going to go the Butch Jones route there, Mason. I think I'm trying to like Butch Jones may start doing a podcast and I might help him kind of start up a podcast. So like, yeah, I'll ask him, hey, have you heard from Auburn? Sure. Why not?
Really?
You know? Yeah, but that's way down the line. That's man, I'm just trying to put, I'm you know, one week at a time, trying to put one foot in front of the other. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Thank you all for watching Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's Zach Berry at Zach underscore Berry. What are you most watching for this week in Ole Miss sports? I'll give you a second to think about it as I tell the fans about Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. If you're shopping your health insurance coverage, if you're unhappy with it, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449. Quoteswithdrew.com. That's quoteswithdrew.com. Services 35 different carriers, and we'll make sure you're in the right plan for you and your family. Call Drew Moak today, 601-953-8449. Thanks so much to B&A Bank, my hometown bank. You know, I know everybody over there, and as someone who was financially illiterate for most of his life, I'm so thankful for the people over in that building who have kind of shown me how to be an adult, and they could, you know, maybe not show you how to be an adult because you won't need it, but they can help you out with all your needs. They're there for you. They're more than just a bank to take your money. They're a bank to help you with all of your needs. 662-534-8171. 662-534-8171. It's bnabank.com. And, of course, Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. If you, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space than Riverland Roofing. So our thanks to them, riverlandroofing.com. From at @TooTallPaul94, hopefully all the freshmen play Saturday at some point. You'd hope so.
Correct.
You would hope so. Citadel, and I really want to see who do you really want to see that we haven't seen? If they're able to get on the field, who do you most want to see? That you hadn't seen so far.
We'll see some Shekai Mills Knight.
Okay.
That's probably the biggest one. Try to see some of the defensive linemen.
Andrew Maddox.
See some more of like DJ Holmes. And then, yeah, let's let Austin Simmons get out there, spin it. Got to keep him fresh. Got to have him, you know, preheated if he's got to come in for anything. I'd like to see AJ Maddox get out there and sling it around, too.
I got one. Caleb Cunningham.
Yeah, Caleb Cunningham. See some more of Caleb Odom. I would like to not see them doing a jumbo package on the goal line. We don't need Jam Brown or anybody getting a concussion.
Don't need Will Eccles is it up back against the Citadel.
Yeah, we don't need it.
Don't need that.
Elsewhere, pretty fun weekend of football, especially early. Georgia at Mississippi State, BYU at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech's going to win that game.
I think so. Both of those two at 11 a.m. is going to be fun.
And then the Citadel Ole Miss at noon.
You got Ole Miss, and then you've got A&M at Missouri. Interesting. Oregon at Iowa. Interesting. Auburn at Vandy. Very interesting. Some good games this week. LSU at Bama, obviously. Florida State at Clemson. I mean, just the battle.
Are we all rooting for LSU this week?
If you're Ole Miss, yes, because you need LSU to look better.
Well, this is an Ole Miss podcast, so that's why I asked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we probably have some other fans that tune in. We had some Florida fans on Hit That Line last week.
Nice. If you're a fan of another school listening, hit me up in the comments. I'm just going through them constantly, all the time.
Florida at Kentucky, fascinating. Look-ahead spot, potentially. Could the Wildcats get another one?
Could Mike Stoops win his way to get one of these jobs?
He's like the meme of the kid that's like ripping the bowl while the other two people are fighting. Yep. That's Mike. That's Stoops. He's just watching everybody else get fired.
Good ball, too, man. Like, he just should have moved when he had the chance to move. He should have not stayed at Kentucky.
Too tall, Paul. I got to go with Mason Dunn. Like, yeah, Mason Dunn at corner.
Good. A little bit more run for LaDarian Clardy. I'd love to see some Jarkobi Hobson at linebacker. But also Friday night, according to Brandon Tyler, and he's right, the Culture Boys, that's Chris Beard and Ole Miss basketball play again. Last time Beard was somewhere for 3 years, he ended up in the national championship. I was there Monday to watch Southeastern Louisiana. Some things that really stuck out to me. Need some more from Travis Perry, man. He had a bad shooting night. Bad night for him. But other than that, I thought that it was really encouraging from Keza Giffa.
Yeah, dude.
Like, Elias Carmardine as a passer and as a creator. He's an NBA player. Malik Dia, consistency is obviously the issue, but when he's on, he's an NBA player.
Okay, question. Is it Giffa or Jiffa?
I thought it was Giffa.
Okay. He looked I liked what I saw from him. It was one game. Dude. He had a little CDR to him. For those that remember Chris mm-hmm. Douglas Roberts, he just kind of like gets in the lane and got a little floater game.
So pitches
the ball from the elbow. Yeah, he plays really, which yeah, Beard loves that. Like that mm-hmm. dude gets after it.
Mm-hmm.
On ball defender.
Patton Pinkins got some real run, the true freshman, and like that's Patton the Pinkins, first game. Yeah.
He's gonna play a lot.
Was here on Talk of Champions just a couple months ago. Check out that interview with him, son of Al, the Ole Miss assistant coach, one of three top 100 yeah. signees Ole Miss basketball signed, and he's the one playing. Not at you know we didn't see
Bundelow. We saw Bundelow a little bit.
It looks still looks like Chet Holmgren, like a clone of Chet Holmgren to me.
You know? It looked like Talas Jordan was in street clothes, so maybe.
Yeah, he was at the end of the bench. So yeah,
maybe he got banged up in practice or something. Nah, man, I think they got plenty of dudes that can score. If AJ Storr looks like that all year, it's gonna be fun. He shot the lights out.
He's a dude.
I mean, you know what you're gonna get from Malik Dia? I selfishly just being a Memphis Grizzlies fan. I mean, it's just Z-Bo. That's all I see when I see Malik Dia. He's a lot more athletic than Z-Bo. He's got a similar around the rim game where he just finds ways to score, and he's good.
I miss those Z-Bo years, and now Ja's about to get traded. You know, like
one thing I also want to see more of. I want to see more.
Hobart Grayson.
That dude is like Terrence Davis on steroids.
Okay, first of all, no, Terrence Davis is Terrence Davis. But Hobart Grayson is like.
Did you see the dunk?
Yes, but he's like.
That was insane.
It was.
I meant athletically.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking, he's more like five below version of Terrence Davis.
Not as an overall like score, but like.
Okay.
I knew he was athletic. And then, Kermit said it on the telecast. He was like. He was like, watch this dunk.
Insane.
Nah, man. I was dialed in when Terrence went for 30 plus at the Carrier Dome back in the day. He mm-hmm. can fill it up.
Next week, the Tad Pad will be having this last basketball game. And I got to admit.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Did you graduate in there?
I graduated in 2004, and I walked in the Grove.
Okay.
I didn't do the tap.
I was so happy we were in the tap bags. It was hot as hell.
It really was. I wore flip flops and all that kind of stuff, and walked across my.
You wearing flip flops? No.
Oh no! I'm sorry. Y'all like prisons.
It is sad though, man. When I was undergrad, I never missed a basketball game, and that was like when
Clarence Sanders hit that shot over Glenn Big Baby Davis. Like,
I was there, baby.
I was like right behind him at the tad pad.
Brian Smith with the steal.
Steal in the pass.
And then
Chris Warren beating Kentucky. Man, I could go for days. The Memphis NIT game where Tirico just went off.
Those were some fun AK teams back then. It was a fun atmosphere back then too, man. Student section was always packed.
Oh, nice. JP Campbell, he's flying in from Houston. We'll attend the Tad Pad game in Florida the next day. Should be fun. Should be an unbelievable this weekend. Rod Barnes will be recognized by Ole Miss basketball, just like Bob Wiltick was last year. Yep, he'll be there. They're playing Cal State Bakersfield. He's not their coach anymore. But
I was going to say, he's not the coach anymore.
In 2001, Rod Barnes was your SEC coach of the year, Naismith National Coach of the Year, led Ole Miss to the Sweet 16, matched last year by Chris Beard, the greatest single-season accomplishment in Ole Miss history. And this Ole Miss team, in my opinion, has – even a higher potential than that, to kind of go back to what started this whole thing as we get out of here. But
Cameron Dean is going to be better.
Complete non sequitur, but get a Shrek costume for Ben for next Halloween. He's right. Ginger Shrek.
Have you never actually been Shrek before?
No. I just look like if Shrek were a person. Except, like, Shrek would not be ripped. He would be a marshmallow like me. You know, I'm just saying. But anyway, this basketball team, I think it has a more volatile floor, but certainly higher upside than last year's team that matched the single-season greatest accomplishment in Ole Miss history, led by Rod Barnes in 2001. And he will be recognized next Friday. Ole Miss basketball is back, and we'll be saying goodbye to the old dump. It was our dump. It was our charming
dump.
Not
a lot of basketball arenas have a chimney, all right?
terrible seating. You were cramped. You were uncomfortable. I can't imagine how much they're demolishing it, for those who don't know. I can't imagine how much just getting the asbestos out is going to cost.
Hey,
like, I was told for the longest, Tad Pad's not going anywhere because it's going to cost millions of dollars to demolish. But there's never been a better time to be an Ole Miss Rebel as far as business is concerned. So now they can get rid of the old bird. And, man, I'll tell you what, man,
in true Tad Pad fashion, shout out my good buddy JT. He was good friends with AK. AK hooked us up with some tickets.
Heck yeah.
Took my wife down there. We went to a game.
There you go.
They're playing South Carolina. Within the first 10 minutes, the power went out.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, I turned to her and I was like, you're getting the full Tad Pad experience right now.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep. I was there when a game had to be stopped because of rain in a basketball coliseum. I was there when
they would go out to midcourt and like point up at the ceiling.
I've seen animals in the Tad Pad that weren't supposed to be there. That's what I grew up in. I too, Brandon Tyler, was a big Reginald Buckner guy, mainly because Reggie was
shout out Manassas, baby.
That dude, best shot blocker Ole Miss has ever had. But also, you didn't know which Reggie was walking in the door that day. And I've got so many stories. Like Murphy Holloway, who's now calling games. He's the analyst with Gary Darby for the Ole Miss Radio Network for basketball games. Like, I got to bring him back on, one, to honor the Tad Pad, but also, buddy, you want some Reggie Buckner stories?
Man.
Like, let's call up my guy Murph.
If he didn't clip his fingernails before that LaSalle game, Ole Miss makes it the next round.
That LaSalle game. Derek Millenhouse's run was epic. You know,
the beatdown of Wisconsin, and that Wisconsin team had three pros,
and Ole Miss put belt to ass. as Keyon Lacy and Ole Miss football now say belt to ass.
Maybe that's going to be the new thing. Maybe Ole Miss doesn't need a song. Like Michigan's got Mr. Brightside and Wisconsin's got Jump Around. Maybe Ole Miss just does the belt thing.
Sure.
Every fourth quarter, everybody just takes their belt off and just starts snapping them.
Love that. I don't know what song we could put to it. Like, I don't know. We got to workshop that. But cool, that's also above our pay grade. Ole Miss marketing, take advantage of that. I think something's called on. Belt to ass. Ole Miss basketball, 1-0. Some encouraging things from Monday, but it was Southeastern Louisiana. They play again Friday night. The next Friday, the Tad Pad will be getting his swan song, and what a bummer, man. Oh, God. It was inevitable. The spaceship had to go, but that now that it's finally here, it's still sad. So it'll be a bummer to see the Tad Pad go. It's going to be demolished and made into parking and some other stuff. They need it. Ole Miss is growing and never slowing down, and Lane Kiffin's a big part of that. Garth Brooks comes on, and everyone takes their belt off. Okay. What, Garth, are we playing, though? We're not playing Colin Baton Rouge. What are we going to play?
No. I mean.
J.P. Campbell thinks we should get some Devo out and do whip it and whip it good. I don't know. Pretty, that doesn't feel good. Football-y, you know?
You can play play Pony. That's kind of.
Why would you play.
It's provocative.
Why would you play Genuine, the goat, Pony?
It's provocative.
No, it's not. You're not wanting to have sex with your opponent. Well, that's what Pony is. Have you ever listened to the words of Pony? Pony is for you and your wife, or you and your significant other.
It's kind of a signal to, you know, people might take their belt off when they hear it.
Yeah, because that just means they're getting ready for something else that you would take your belt off for. Not to put belt to ass, you're taking your belt off with Genuine's Pony.
All like, ideas aren't good ideas.
Don't want to have a conversation. Genuine's my goat, okay? Differences, don't get me started on, like, I love Genuine. And I'm telling you, as probably the friend of yours that knows Genuine music the best, there is no chance in hell. No chance in hell. That Ole Miss can play Pony.
I just took a shot. All right. Don't.
He went for it. You know what? Shoot or shoot. I'm glad you went for it. I like some of these other ones. I don't know, Brandon Tyler. Friends in Low Place is pretty generic. Y'all help us come up
with a good sing along. That's key.
That's
like
key.
That's why I think, and people get mad, and I'm gonna die on this hill, Ben. People get mad about Dancing Queen, but everybody knows Dancing Queen. And it's a good song, and it's loud.
But it doesn't work with a belt.
Well, no, not with the. I'm just saying, like, for us, like a sing along, because, like, that's key. Like, it has to be a song everybody knows. I mean, are you Googling songs about belts right now?
Yes. Quite literally says songs about belts. Did you see my screen? Get out of my head, you.
No, because I was going to do it.
Well, I've kind of figured, forget it. You know what we should do? You know what Ole Miss people should do? Let the glass break to start the fourth quarter.
It gave me songs that are suitable for vocal belting.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's some good ones on here.
Great one. Like Defying Gravity, I'm with you. If you really wanted to belt some songs, I was talking about like physical belt Google. So let's not go through that.
Yeah.
But Stone Cold, Let the Glass Break, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin's music, popping the belts. Or like, here's one for you. Chris Jericho. Don't get talked about enough. We got to get out of here. Chris Jericho. Break the Walls Down. Countdown clock, just like they used to do on the WWE.
It's good pop.
Yeah, and then break the wall down, break down walls.
That was pretty good.
Saying,
How Will I Know by Whitney Houston? Come on, man.
Whitney Houston is the greatest lyricist of our time. All right, this has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Zach Berry, at Zach underscore Berry, at Spirit Ben. Thank you to Riverland Roofing, B&A Bank, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. Check out the Ole Miss Spirit. We do this all day, every day. This is all we do. If it's not talking about it, we're posting about it at the Ole Miss Spirit. This is hang out with us. We'd love to have you.
We got a live hit that line tonight, 9 p.m.-ish. Come join us.
I'm talking to Knox Kiffin tonight for his podcast Under the Lights for Mudcat Media.
Nice.
Not going to ask a 14-year-old about his dad in Florida, so don't even get in the comments and ask me.
Got to ask Knox about 6'7".
He would probably like, he sounds just like, well, yeah, but like, it's not cool when you say it. Yeah, because I'm 40, you know? All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, friends. The Ole Miss Spirit, come hang with us. omspirit.com and Fleet of On 3. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Zach.
See you, buddy.